Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Coming up on The Brian Lehrer Show today, we have Tom Brokaw later on the program, who has a very serious call asking us to re-enlist as citizens. So we'll talk to Tom Brokaw about that, which is in his new book, and a lot of other things about the news and politics and journalism. And just in time for Halloween, we have Joyce Carol Oates today. It's funny, on a day that we were just talking about all the power outages from snow in New Jersey, but it is Halloween, so just in time for Halloween, Joyce Carol Oates will take us to Noir, New Jersey. There's a new book called New Jersey Noir. Joyce Carol Oates is the editor. She will be here today. We will also look at the quirkiest things in the U.S. Constitution, and that ought to be fun today, too, so stay with us. But we begin with new successes and new questions about Herman Cain. A new Iowa poll, the Des Moines Register poll, has him at number one in the race for the caucuses there on January 3rd, statistically a dead heat with Mitt Romney, but ahead by a point. And a new poll in Texas finds Cain in front of Texas Governor Rick Perry. But suddenly this weekend, two issues surfaced that raise questions about Cain's character, one about alleged sexual harassment, one about taking tobacco use lightly. Politico reported that two women working for Cain in the 90s, when he was head of the National Restaurant Association, accused him of sexual harassment. In this exchange on the Fox News Channel last night, Cain spokesman J.D. Gordon does not deny that something took place or that settlement money was paid to any women. The host is Geraldo Rivera.
Did it happen? Is it being misconstrued? Was there indeed here? Yes or no? Was there a cash settlement to two female employees of the National Restaurant Association?
Well, all I'm telling you right now is this is something that the establishment is trying to attack.
JD, you are evading my question. Was there or was there not a cash settlement? Was there or was there not a cash settlement to two female employees of the National Restaurant Association? JD, what you are saying and what you're doing right now is a recipe for disaster, mate. I'm telling you, the morning papers aren't past their deadline yet. Are you denying that there was a cash settlement to two female employees of the National Restaurant Association, yes or no?
I would say you'd have to get that from the National Restaurant Association.
Herman Cain spokesman J.D. Gordon with Geraldo Rivera last night on the Fox News Channel. Did you see that, by the way? It was actually very humorous. I don't know if it was staged. J.D. Gordon called in the middle of the program when they were talking about this issue, and the way they made it look, he called Geraldo's cell phone, and Geraldo is there actually holding the cell phone up to his lapel mic and playing, listening to the audio of the Cain spokesman talking right into that, rather than getting him to call back on a broadcast line. Whether they did that as a matter of staging, I don't know, but I happened to be watching and it was extremely amusing. All right. So I actually, before we bring in Susan Page, USA Today Washington Bureau Chief, to talk about this, I actually want to go right on to the second clip because it's so dramatic. We will hear Cain himself this time with a very angry Bob Schieffer, host of CBS Face the Nation yesterday. Yes, nice guy Bob Schieffer, but in this case, not afraid to express his opinion on this web video, which is an ad for Cain that shows his campaign manager smoking a cigarette in part to promote Cain. Cain and Bob Schieffer, this is 2 minutes worth.
Now, I just have to ask you, what is the point of that, having a man smoke a cigarette in a television commercial for you?
One of the themes within this campaign is let Herman be Herman. Mark Block is a smoker, and we say, let Mark be Mark. That's all we're trying to say, because we believe, let people be people. He doesn't deny that he's a smoker. This isn't trying
to... Are you a smoker?
No, I'm not a smoker. But I don't have a problem if that's his choice. So let Herman be Herman, let Mark be Mark, let people be people. This wasn't intended to send any subliminal signal whatsoever.
But it does. It sends a signal that it's cool to smoke.
No, it does not. Mark Block smokes. That's all that ad says. We weren't trying to say it's cool to smoke. You have a lot of people in this country that smoke. But what I respect about Mark as a smoker, who is my chief of staff, he never smokes around me or smokes around anyone else. He goes outside.
Well, he smokes on television.
Well, he smokes on television. But there was no other subliminal message.
Was it meant to be funny?
It was meant to be informative. If they listened to the message where he said, America has never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. That was the main point of it. And the bit on the end, we didn't know whether it was going to be funny to some people or whether they were going to ignore it or whatever the case may be.
Let me just tell you, it's not funny to me.
Okay.
I am a cancer survivor,
right,
like you.
I am also.
I had cancer that's smoking related.
Yes.
I don't think it serves the country well, and this is an editorial opinion here, to be showing someone smoking a cigarette. And you're the front runner now, and it seems to me as front runner, you would have a responsibility not to take that kind of a tone in this. I would suggest that perhaps as the front runner, you'd want to raise the level of the campaign.
We will do that, Bob, and I do respect your objection to the ad. And probably about 30% of the feedback was very similar to yours. It was not intended to offend anyone. And being a cancer survivor myself, I am sensitive to that sort of thing.
So, Herman Cain with Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation yesterday on CBS. Herman Cain is up in the polls. Herman Cain is under scrutiny in the press. Let's talk about it with USA Today, Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page. Hi, Susan. Welcome back.
Hey, Brian. Great to be with you again.
Have you ever heard Bob Schieffer like that?
You know, first, before I talk about that, I want to say the revelation to me is that you're sitting around on a Sunday night watching Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah. Well,
on Fox.
Was cleaning up my apartment, and I thought, well, let's just see if anybody's talking politics on the cable channels. And I thought it would be pretty boring. And I'm like, whoa, look at this.
Well, that's pretty impressive. I was watching sitcoms I had TiVo'd from earlier in the week, so I'm very impressed that you were doing that. I mean, the Bob Schieffer exchange, remarkable. And I'm torn between thinking this ad was a terrible mistake or a stroke of brilliance in that we're still talking about it. He didn't even put it on the air, right? It was a web ad.
Yes.
And yet we've spent
days
talking about it.
Right. Do you think it has any political implications, the fact that Schieffer reacted this way, the fact that other people are going to react this way?
No. I think the sexual harassment story has a lot of implications, but I think this is probably not something that really is a kind of issue that will affect the voters who are drawn to Herman Cain. Do you think it does?
Well, let's find out. Herman Cain supporters, we have a few minutes. Call us up and tell us if either of these things matter to you. Do you just feel like your candidate is under unfair attack from the media, or does this raise new questions for you? Those of you who've called us up before as Herman Cain supporters, or those of you who are just out there and have never spoken on the air, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. For the moment, Herman Cain supporters only on the phones, 212-433-WNYC. Does this raise questions for you? Does this make you think that it's just the media attacking him? Does it make you more supportive of him? 212-433-9692. And Susan, break down what we know about this alleged, and we say alleged, sexual harassment story. What did Politico actually report as fact? What, if anything, has your paper been able to confirm? What does the non-denial mean?
Well, the Politico is way out ahead on this story. We're working on the story. We have a reporter at the American Enterprise Institute this morning where Cain was speaking. He's just left the stage and refused at that event to take questions about this story. But what Politico posted yesterday is a story that says at least two women who worked at the National Restaurant Association in the 1990s, when Herman Cain was head of that group, ended up leaving their jobs complaining that he had made sexually suggestive comments that had made them uncomfortable, and they left with financial settlements and after signing agreements that promised they couldn't, that bar them from talking about the circumstances of their departure. And what we've heard from Herman Cain and his spokesman since then do not amount to denials of the story. He's denied that he engaged in sexual harassment, but he has not addressed whether he was accused of sexual harassment. And on the issues of the financial settlements, the reported financial settlements, they've referred questions to the National Restaurant Association, which has refused to comment.
Is he allowed to comment? Is the National Restaurant Association allowed to comment? You say this is a settlement that left the women unable to comment publicly. I think I heard Ann Coulter say to Geraldo last night that Herman Cain can't talk about this publicly. That's why he's not talking about it publicly, because the settlement precludes him from that. But I'm not sure that's true.
You know what? I don't think that passes the common sensometer test, that a presidential candidate, the leading Republican candidate, can't address a major issue on something that happened in his career or is alleged to have happened. So it's possible that it seems to me it's credible that the women can't talk about it, or that the National Restaurant Association itself can't talk about it. But I believe Herman Cain will have to talk about it, and probably today he's appearing at a National Press Club lunch this afternoon. Talk about your excellence in timing for that. And I think he will not be able to avoid questions there. And in fact, he said at the beginning of the AEI event this morning that he would take questions about it at the press club.
Dan on the Upper East Side, you're on WNYC. Cain supporter, Dan?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of neutral, but more importantly, I'm just disappointed that we're spending this much time talking about smoking in an ad. I think that's what's bringing our country down, and we have much bigger fish to fry.
So you don't have the sense of outrage that Bob Schieffer does about
it? Not at all. It's ridiculous. Let people be, and why are we talking about that and not other things?
Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you. Tammy
in Livingston, you're on WNYC. Let's see if we can get Dan's line off. We're having a little bit of phone trouble. Debbie, can you help me with this? Get Dan's line off and get Tammy in Livingston on. Okay, I can't do it. Maybe our engineer can't do it either. So we're having some phone difficulties. There we go. Tammy, you're on the air, I think.
Am I on?
Hi, yes, you are.
So this would actually increase my support for Herman Cain, although I don't smoke and I don't want my kids to smoke, but he's all about mature, educated adults making responsible choices and taking personal responsibility, and I love it.
And so how does this enhance his image of taking personal responsibility rather than shirking it?
Because he says, you know what, people aren't copycats. They can make up their own mind. If I have someone on my staff who smokes, he smokes. That doesn't mean that you have to do it. And we don't need the government to tell us everything that we need to do. We can look around us and still make responsible choices.
Tammy, thank you very much. So there's a little sampling of two, Susan. And, nobody calling up right away to say, yeah, you know, I was really interested in Herman Cain, but not if he's going to put smoking videos on the web.
Well, and Herman Cain has sold himself as a non-politician. I think that's a big part of his appeal. When he's been unable to answer foreign policy questions, for instance, it hasn't really hurt him because he is not the old Washington hand that people are so dissatisfied with. And in fact, when he walked off the stage at AEI, he said to the crowd, "Herman is going to stay Herman." I think it's part of his appeal. And even if you're, I mean, I think that Tammy's reaction is the one that I would expect to hear from people who are drawn to that kind of candidate.
Fred in Manhattan, maybe on a similar vein. Let's see. Hi, Fred.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Do I support Herman Cain? I thought you were going to ask me that. The answer is, it depends on who he's running. If he's going to be running against Obama, then for sure I'll be supporting
him. Right. But who do you support him in the Republican primaries?
I don't know enough about everybody yet, and it's hard to say. So far, I like him because he's not too much of a politician, and I think very little of politicians in both camps.
Okay, good. So what about either of these issues for you?
Okay, the issue of
alleged sexual harassment and a settlement made to two women who used to work for him who made that claim.
He probably did it. And I have a big problem with that, and I have a big problem with the smoking as well. But I can go down a whole list of things and talk about all the candidates running on the Republican end. But I have bigger issues with our current president, which everybody seems to be walking away from. Nobody really attacks him.
So you don't. In terms of Cain, you don't like these things, but it's not make or break.
If it was, then who would you have? There's nobody out there.
Fred,
they don't have any saints running for president.
Fred, thank you very much. All right, so another one there. And he did. He wasn't as kind of defiantly defensive, Susan, of Kane's right to be Kane. And if his campaign manager smokes cigarettes, sure, let him smoke cigarettes in a web video. Fred didn't like it. But he says, in the scheme of things, you know, we have bigger things like the economy, I guess he meant, to worry about.
Yeah, and you know, we both. I think less the smoking video, more the story about sexual harassment. This is part of a kind of vetting process for a candidate who has done better than any of us expected. I mean, Herman Cain has really defied the expectations of political reporters, who, you know, and I include myself in this group, didn't take him seriously even as he was rising in the polls. I mean, we were slow to recognize the appeal he had with the Republican electorate, and you know, now he's beating Rick Perry in a poll in Texas. He's leading in Iowa, where he's only gone once since that straw poll in August. I mean,
what do you make of the Iowa poll in terms of how it actually translates to votes? Because, you know, they have that caucus system where it's not just voters around the state going and casting a ballot, and whoever gets 50% plus one wins all the delegates. They go to these little hyper-local caucus meetings, very old-fashioned democracy. And so what in the statewide poll, if he's up by a point on Mitt Romney, how does that translate to what might actually happen at caucuses?
Well, I actually spent 3 days in Iowa last week in connection with the poll. The poll was by the Des Moines Register, which, like USA Today, is owned by Gannett. So I went out there so I could do a story about what the poll means. This survey is of likely caucus goers. It's by a Des Moines-based pollster, Ann Seltzer, who has an unbelievable history in being accurate on caucus goers, which is a very hard thing to do. But what struck me about the poll results is how nothing is settled. 75% of likely caucus goers say they might change their mind. Yeah. This is not a field that has been cooked. And that's one reason I think a story like this, I mean, this sexual harassment is offensive to everybody.
Right.
But one thing we know about the Iowa caucuses is how many evangelical Christians and social conservatives go to the Republican caucuses in Iowa. I think this is a kind of issue that they will take seriously. Already this morning, the Concerned Women for America, which is a group of very conservative women, has demanded that Herman Cain answer questions about this. I think
really?
This could make this poll instantly out of date.
Very interesting. Let me go on to one other thing before we run out of time. Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. November comes in tomorrow. Thanksgiving is the deadline for the bipartisan supercommittee on the national debt to come up with at least $1.5 trillion in 10-year deficit reduction. That's going to be a big, big story with lots of implications for our future as the month goes on. Where does the supercommittee stand today?
Well, a lot of their work is behind closed doors, but from what we can see in public, the supercommittee stands nowhere. It doesn't look like they've made progress on the issues that divide Democrats and Republicans, which are, of course, tough issues and maybe hard to expect that they would, but it is hard to see signs of progress. It will be a remarkable thing if they can meet that Thanksgiving deadline.
But if they don't meet the Thanksgiving deadline, then the compromise that was already struck in the last round means that draconian cuts would automatically be implemented that hurt constituents of both parties, the military, Medicare recipients, take your pick.
But those cuts don't go into effect for several years, and one Congress can't bind the hands of the next Congress. So the next Congress could decide that they want to change the provisions of the deal that was struck that set up the supercommittee.
Huh.
So I think we're a long way away. It's one of the things that keeps the penalties for inaction from being quite as draconian as they might seem.
All right. And listeners, on this point, we invite you to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, to see our latest West Wing Video Club installment. You can see a clip from the West Wing, which happens to be on supercommittees and secrecy, and see what I wrote, see what John Hockenberry wrote, and see what J. Newton Small from Newsweek wrote. Our West Wing Video Club, the latest installment on secret supercommittees with J. Jay Newton Small, John Hockenberry, and me at itsafreecountry.org. Also, a note to our callers, we're having some phone problems. So many of you who thought you got through and may have thought you got hung up on, nobody hung up on you, but we are having some technical difficulties with our phones, so we apologize. And we thank Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief of USA Today. And now we'll all be watching the National Press Club this afternoon to see how Herman Cain answers these sexual harassment questions. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A lot more to come, including Tom Brokaw and Joyce Carol Oates and quirky things about the U.S. Constitution, the quirkiest clauses in the Constitution. Stay with us.